live from the Hamptons, broadcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to WOC, Winners Only Club. Here's your host, Lulu Romano.
Hold on. Oh, in there? Yeah, just go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
You're in the part of a monumental moment in history. Harry's big break on the TV television.
Have you ever wondered what is America's oldest department store and what it's like to run one? What if I told you the oldest family-run and owned home goods store in America, the Sun, after generations, is on my show today? The family legacy of Henry Hildreth III dates back to 1635 when his family arrived in Plymouth, Massachusetts. They were told by the King of England to raise cattle, but the coastline was a bit too rocky, so they eventually made their way to the Hamptons after getting kicked out of Great South Bay, which is where Bayshore is today, and a stop in the Virginias. The store, eponymously named Hildreth's, started in October 28, 1842, with things like buffalo robes, whaling harpoons, buggy whips, and things of that sort. The conversation with Humbo Henry, that's me dubbing that name onto him, disproves the born with a golden spoon stereotype. Boys and girls, ladies and germs, please help me welcome Henry, or friends like to call him Hank. Also, there is some background noises because we did film this during store hours, so please pardon it because we are talking to a legend.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Winners Only Club, the number one podcast in the Hamptons and beyond. I'm your host, Lulu, and today we have the privilege, pleasure, and honor to chat with Henry Hildreth of Hildreth in Southampton, New York, the oldest department store in America. Everyone, welcome Henry.
Oh, thank you.
Henry, tell us about being a generational owner of Hildreth and the meaning behind that.
Well, I don't know the meaning behind it. It's a privilege. It's, I didn't choose this. It just happened, and I wasn't sure I was going to do it when I was growing up, when I was young. And I went to Southampton High School, and from there I wasn't even sure I was going to go to college. And my parents wanted me to go anyway, and I did, and then I came back. And I had my real estate license, and I was going to sell real estate. And my father said, well, he never forced me, but he said, well, if you want to come in and work a couple of days a week, that'd be good. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So I did. And we had a few different warehouses all over the place. And he actually said one day, or actually I was in one of the warehouses, and I said to one of the managers, I said, there's a piece of furniture that I think we should bring to the floor. And he said, well, maybe next week. And I said, well, that thing has been in the warehouse since 1969. And this was 1979, and it still hadn't made it to the floor for sale. So I, at that time, thought I should start spending more time here at the store, which I did, starting basically in 1978, 79, full-time. More or less, and before then, holidays and Christmases and things like that.
I read somewhere that you used to aspire to become a famous surfer. Is that true?
Well, no, I don't know about a famous surfer, mm-hmm. but I was brought up down by what they call the cut, which to people who know, or, you know, they do, and if people who don't, that's just as well. It's kind of a secret. Although it's not a secret. Anyway, long story short, I was brought up down there, and my cousins and friends and most everybody else at that time seemed mostly older than me. So they surfed all these longboards and whatnot, and I only had a raft and some crappy little things, and that was before the Mori boogie board was actually made, I believe. So I kind of got hand-me-down things and whatnot. So instead of becoming a surfer, I became a kneeboarder, and I've been in the water since the age of 4 and love it. Anything to do with the water, I'm in touch with. I don't fish as much as I used to, but I surf year-round. But I kneeboard, which is like surfing, but on your knees.
Do you like doing other outdoor activities like mountain climbing or skiing? No.
No. Well, I only skied like once or twice. I think I liked it. I started out falling down a lot, and then I got a lesson, and then I liked it. So I'd like to ski, but I really haven't skied much. But surfing, I go year-round, as I said, and I do enjoy that.
What do you think is something difficult about running a family business that people may not even think of? Because, there's that stereotype it's daddy's business, but you still have to put in the work, right?
Some people could say, not that they did, but... you're kind of born with a silver spoon in your mouth type thing or whatever, so you have to kind of prove yourself, which I did, and I think I've done a pretty good job, and now my wife and daughter are, they're president and vice president and whatnot, and, I still hang around.
Can you share with us how you proved yourself?
I don't know if it was me who proved myself as opposed to my employees, my fellow workers, my fellow employees. Nobody, I never said, or I always say, nobody works for me, they work with me. So it's more them than me, and of course our customers. If it wasn't for our customers, we'd be nowhere, no matter how good or bad I was. So it's not really me, it's them. The employees and the customers, and of course the product and whatnot. But we stand behind everything we sell, and I'm proud to walk up and down the street. I don't hide. If anybody had a problem with anything, I make it right.
Where do you guys get the products, and who chooses the products?
Well, products come from all over the world. We try to source out as much as we can from the United States, but that becomes hard, especially in the days of COVID and whatnot. So you get what you can, where you can get it. And we try to follow trends and whatnot, but yet we try to be a little bit different, not your regular cookie cutter store. And we tend to go into more of a beach look, so it's a beach feel. It's like a come in with your, you don't have to wear bare feet kind of into the thing with the sand on your shoes kind of. So lighter colors, airier colors, textured feels, softs, plushes, kind of a beach vibe where you're a little bit more laid back, soft, nothing too formal. I'm not into too much formality in things.
Now
blues, a lot of blues, sky blues, cerulean blues, things like that.
Now, I don't know too much about furniture, but what's a big difference between your shop versus Colette?
Well, she's more of a consignment, so that's not really I don't know if I call it a fair question. You might want to say, how do we differ between us and Restoration Hardware?
How do you guys differ between you guys and Restoration Hardware?
Well, we have a lot different look. We have a lot more looks. Their look is kind of earthy grays, light grays and whatnot, lower to the ground, squarer, modular and feel and whatnot. They have a definite look, and then they'll throw in some lighting that is very formal and whatnot, but we don't get into that too much.
In the previous episode with the former mayor Mark Epley, he told me that before he ran for mayor and served for 12 years for the village, he said he got a very important call from Joseph Romanowski and telling him a couple of tips on if you're going to do this, if you're going to be a mayor. When it comes to you, did you have a mentor or a family member who gave you advice on running the business?
My grandfather, he was, both my grandfather and father were kind of quiet, you know, when you think of the term a gentleman, they were gentlemen. They tipped their hat, you know, back in the day my grandfather wore a fedora, and he would tip his hat to all the ladies walking up and down the street, no matter what. So they were gentlemen, you know, very nice. So they never forced a lot of things on me one way or the other. I was kind of learning by, you know, as we went along kind of thing.
Is there a reason why you, instead of another sibling, took over the business?
My sister had kids, and she married a guy who was, he worked in the city. And so he was gone all day, so she kind of watched after the kids and whatnot. She worked here for a little bit when she got out of college. But now they moved away, so she doesn't work.
You're listening to Winners Only Club, hosted by Lulu Romano. We'll be right back after this break.
My wife we have three kids. So she stayed home for a certain amount of time. She was a nurse but prior to that. And she took care of the kids, and then she helped me with, we had a clearance center in Bridgehampton, and then we had a clearance center in another place. She worked a little bit here and there as the kids were growing up, but not a lot. But then, I don't know, 6-8 years ago, she took over more or less and does everything from top to bottom here, and with my daughter, Kaylee, and of course my other daughter, and my son, too. He works in the warehouse and whatnot. So for, I think it's better under her control than it was under mine, to tell you the truth. She's got better taste. She's very understanding. She's fantastic with customers. Unbelievable. Whereas, you know, I can get a little gruff or rough per se, but she's taken it to the next level, put it that way. So I kind of kept it going, and, you know, I had the store in East Hampton. We put a patio store over there. We added on to the back of the store. We added over here. We, you know, this, that, and the other thing under my tutelage, but under her tutelage, it's really come a long way. And with COVID, which was like throw a whole monkey wrench into the thing, that was actually pretty good. Not pretty good, but, you know, we've managed it quite well.
You guys are selling the Hildreth in East Hampton.
Yeah, that's for sale. You know, it was good for about 20 some odd years. It's not as, I'm older, she's got enough to do, we've got enough to do, it's, yeah.
Is it also because of maybe any new projects on the way?
There's always something to think about, but I'll be 66 in June, so I don't need, you know, I'm turning back the volume, so to speak, versus up the volume. And so, you know, I'm happy with the way things are going.
Before we wrap this podcast up, the name of this podcast is called Winners Only Club. So, Henry, can you please tell us what's your definition of a winner and what's your definition of a loser?
Winner. What's the definition? A person who gives freely with never thinking about a thank you. Someone who can be like behind the scenes and not necessarily have to be on the forefront of everything. Basically saying, you know, somebody doing something for someone without expecting to be thanked or acknowledged per se. Whereas a loser would be somebody who, maybe needs a ton of attention, and you know, may go out of their way for a certain group or individual or something like that, but would want recognition. You know what I mean? I guess that's not really saying it correctly, but basically, a winner is somebody who's happy within themselves, who gives freely, and doesn't expect much of anything in return.
Have you thought about maybe doing a surfing camp or kneeboard camp, starting a camp like that for the kids?
I used to actually work for one for years. And, you know, I haven't really been asked too much. I guess I'm getting a little bit older now. But I used to teach surfing in between when I could fit it in work-wise. But I'd love it. It was great. We'd do a camp from like 8 to 11 in the morning. So it didn't take up the whole day. But what a way to start the day. It was great.
Where can people check out your furnitures?
Well, here at 51 Main Street in Southampton, and on the internet per se, we have some pictures and whatnot. And directly behind us at 15 West Main Street is our patio store.
Henry, thank you again for coming onto my podcast. It is truly an honor.
Oh, no. I'm honored. Thank you for thinking of me. That was good. That went fast. I thought it was going to take forever.
Me and Mark went for an hour.
No kidding.
He just had so much to say. He loved.
Oh, wow.
So it was just like dirt road, and people rode their horses to come. Yeah. Do some photos. I'm going to take some photos.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, put on your mask, and I'll show you what I'm talking about, the pictures wise.
You can go to my YouTube channel linked below to see a tour of the photos. That's Henry Heldreth III of America's oldest home goods store. Thank you for listening, and isn't history just absolutely fascinating?